your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. A federal appeals court ruled President Trump cannot use an 18th century wartime law to speed the deportations of people his administration accuses of being part of Venezuela's Tren de Aragua gang. The case will likely end up at the U.S. Supreme Court. And U.S. Space Command will be located in Alabama. Trump made the announcement yesterday and reversed a Biden-era decision to keep it at its temporary headquarters in Colorado.
President Trump says U.S. Space Command will be based in Alabama, reversing a Biden-era decision to put it in Colorado. It's a long-expected decision, capping a four-year fight between two states and two administrations. The president says SpaceCom will move from its temporary Colorado Springs headquarters to Huntsville,
forever to be known from this point forward as Rocket City.
While the Air Force 4 years ago identified Huntsville as the command's preferred locale, the Biden administration said it would stay in Colorado to avoid disrupting readiness. President Trump says Alabama's clearly the better pick, accusing Biden of playing politics, but then noting one reason for choosing Alabama.
The problem I have with Colorado, one of the big problems, they do mail-in voting,
which he says leads to automatically crooked elections. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
And overseas, Vladimir Putin has met with North Korea's leader. AP's Lisa Dwyer has more.
After a bilateral meeting between Russian and North Korean delegations, the Kremlin says that Russian President Vladimir Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un met formally for a one-on-one meeting in Beijing, traveling from a reception to the bilateral in the same car. Putin also invited Kim to visit Russia again. Kim last visited Russia in 2023. Earlier, the two leaders attended a major military parade marking the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. According to South Korean assessments, since last year, North Korea has sent around 15,000 troops to Russia and has provided large quantities of military equipment, including ballistic missiles and artillery, to help bolster Russia's war in Ukraine. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The United Nations is warning of an exponential rise in casualties from eastern Afghanistan's powerful 6.0 magnitude. Yesterday, a Taliban government spokesman said more than 1,400 people have been killed, with more than 3,000 injured, in the province of Kunar. And Hurricane Lorena has formed off Mexico's Baja California Peninsula. Forecasters expect it to strengthen in the next 24 hours, with up to 15 inches of rain in some areas. A tropical storm warning has been issued. This is AP News. Political violence has hit a rally in southwest Pakistan.
A suicide bomber has blown himself up outside a stadium as supporters of a nationalist party were leaving a rally on the outskirts of Quetta. With reporters, Bakht Muhammad, Baluchistan health minister, explains, when the rally finished, a suicide blast occurred, and as per initial information, so far more than 12 people have been martyred and 31 wounded, 7 of which are in a critical condition. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack. The rally was held to mark the anniversary of the death of Sardar Atullah Mengal, a veteran nationalist leader and former provincial chief minister. Baluchistan has long been the scene of a low-level insurgency, with groups demanding independence from the central government. The separatists have largely targeted security forces and workers from Pakistan's Punjab province. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Federal grand jurors in the nation's capital have refused to indict two people charged separately with threatening to kill President Trump. It's rare for a grand jury to balk at returning an indictment, but it's happened at least 7 times since Trump last month ordered a surge in patrols by federal agents and National Guard troops in Washington. One case involved a man charged with throwing a sandwich at a federal agent. After the grand jury refused to indict, prosecutors charged him with a misdemeanor. While the proceedings are secret, U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro says a grand jury's refusal to indict somebody for threatening to kill the president is the essence of a politicized jury and evidence of a broken system in D.C.
We just, over the last few minutes, literally shot out a boat, a drug-carrying boat, a lot of drugs in that boat.
President Trump Tuesday announcing U.S. forces carried out a strike on a vessel in the southern Caribbean, operated, he says, by the Trende Aragua gang.
These came out of Venezuela.
Trump says 11 people were killed in international waters and no U.S. forces were harmed. Secretary of State Marco Rubio was asked about it as he embarked on a trip to Mexico and Ecuador for talks on drug cartels, security, trade, and other issues.
The president is going to be on offense against drug cartels and drug trafficking in the United States. It destabilizes not just the country, but the entire Caribbean basin.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro did not address the strike directly Tuesday, but charged the U.S. as coming for Venezuela's riches, including its oil and gas. Ben Thomas, Washington.
President Trump says he'll send federal law enforcement to fight crime in both Chicago and Baltimore. Local and state officials in both places are staunchly against it, but asked if he'll send the National Guard to Chicago.
Well, we're going in. I didn't say when. We're going in.
Telling reporters he has an obligation.
This isn't a political thing.
The president's praised Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser's cooperation with federal troops in the nation's capital, but he's criticized Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker for resisting.
If the governor of Illinois would call me up. I would love to do it.
Pritzker says he's already been clear.
No, I will not call the president asking him to send troops to Chicago.
Calling the request unhinged. Maryland's Wes Moore is also opposed. Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth has approved sending up to 600 military lawyers to serve as temporary immigration judges. The AP's reviewed a memo that says the military will start sending groups of 150 lawyers, both uniformed and civilian, to the Justice Department as soon as practicable. It's being done at the DOJ's request, as the Trump administration looks at options for resolving a significant immigration case backlog. The memo notes the details will last no more than 179 days, but they can be renewed. Senate Republicans are facing a second unexpected retirement as they try to hold their majority. In Iowa,
I will not be seeking re-election in 2026.
Joni Ernst says she'll end a dozen-year Senate run after Iowans elected her in 2014 with a mission.
To make Washington squeal. And I'm proud to say we have delivered.
Ernst joins North Carolina's Tom Tillis, who turned down a re-election bid after clashing with President Trump. Her move could have ripple effects on the GOP if Congresswoman Ashley Hinson runs for the Senate seat. Democrats are looking for chances to flip House seats in Iowa as they seek to regain the chamber's control. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Rudy Giuliani is out of the hospital after being in a car crash in New Hampshire Saturday. The former New York City mayor sustained fractured vertebra and other injuries. Police say Giuliani was being driven by his spokesperson when their vehicle was struck from behind. His head of security says prior to that, Giuliani had been flagged down by a woman who was the victim of a domestic violence incident and contacted police on her behalf. Shortly after pulling back onto the highway, the crash happened. On Monday, President Trump said he would award Giuliani the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Giuliani was once lauded for leading New York after the 9/11 attacks and later sanctioned by courts and disbarred for amplifying false claims about the 2020 election. Julie Walker, New York.
Vladimir Putin says the Trump administration is listening to Russia's justifications for the Ukraine invasion. On a visit to China, Putin complained Joe Biden ignored Russia's arguments. Now he says there's a mutual understanding between Washington and Moscow, which makes Russia very happy. He appeared to suggest possible progress in talks to stop the war, saying there's a chance to find consensus on the key issue of potential security guarantees for Ukraine after the war. Still, President Trump has threatened severe consequences, blasting Putin's lack of engagement in U.S.-led peace efforts. NATO says it's working to counter Russian jamming of civilian flights. 2 days ago, a jet carrying the European Commission's president lost its ability to use GPS mid-air over Bulgaria, where officials believe Russia is to blame.
It is taken very seriously.
NATO Chief Mark Rutte says the jamming is part of a Russian hybrid threat campaign, involving everything from assassination plots to cyber attacks.
I always hated the word hybrid because it sounds so cuddly, but hybrid is exactly this, jamming commercial airplanes with potentially disastrous effects.
Rutte warns Europe cannot be naive. The whole continent is under a growing and direct Russian threat.
We are all on the eastern flank now, whether you live in London or in Tallinn. There is no difference anymore.
A federal judge says President Trump violated federal law by sending National Guard troops to the Los Angeles area amid immigration protests. The president federalized parts of the California National Guard and sent them to L.A. over Governor Gavin Newsom's objections. California sued, and a judge in San Francisco says the administration's action was illegal, though his order did not require the remaining troops be withdrawn. Last week, Newsom spoke up as the president floated more National Guard deployments to places like Chicago and Baltimore.
This country needs to wake up to what's going on, and not just the authoritarian tendencies, but the authoritarian actions by this president. This cannot be normalized.
This morning, Newsom channeled the president with an all-caps social media post reading, "Donald Trump loses again." Sagar Meghani, Washington.
California lawmakers have passed legislation aimed at shielding families from the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. It would require schools to create plans for notifying parents and teachers when immigration enforcement is on campus. The bill would also require California State Universities and community colleges and request University of California campuses send alerts to students, faculty, and staff of the presence of ICE agents. Lawmakers also advanced legislation banning agents from entering non-public areas of school or hospital grounds without a warrant. I'm Ben Thomas.
Houston police say 42-year-old Gonzalo Leon Jr. has been charged with murder in the fatal shooting of an 11-year-old boy after a prank in which he rang the doorbell of a home and ran away. They say Julian Guzman had been ringing doorbells in East Houston Saturday, a prank known as Ding Dong Ditching. According to police, a witness says the suspect came out of the door, ran out into the street, and was firing down the road. This is not the first time the prank has turned deadly. In 2023, a California man was convicted of murder for killing three teen boys by intentionally ramming their car after they rang his doorbell as a prank. And in May, a Virginia man was charged with second-degree murder for shooting an 18-year-old. Curtis Lewa, the red beret-wearing founder of New York City's Guardian Angels Anti-Crime Patrol Group and the former WABC talk radio host, is the Republican candidate for mayor again in the city.
If the people are good enough to elect me mayor November 4th, I'll take the beret off for all time.
He lost to Democrat Eric Adams by almost 40 percentage points in 2021.
In this scenario, with four people running, three of whom are Democrats, you know, Zohran obviously is very unique. He's way to the left. But then again, Cuomo and Adams, listen to the way they talk. They're Zohan Light. I will be the alternative.
The field includes Adams running as an independent, along with fellow Democrat Andrew Cuomo and the official Democratic nominee, Zohran Mamdani, who is leading. Sliwa is running on an anti-crime platform. Julie Walker, New York.
I'm Ed Donahue, and this is the AP Markets Report. Rising pressure from the bond market sent stocks lower, but still close to recent all-time highs. The S&P 500 had its worst day in a month. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 249 points, and the NASDAQ Composite lost close to 1%. Big tech led the market lower. NVIDIA, whose chips are powering much of the world's move to artificial intelligence technology, fell 2%. Amazon sank 1.6%, and Apple dropped 1%. Longer-term Treasury yields are feeling additional pressure from President Trump's attacks on the Federal Reserve for not cutting interest rates sooner. The fear is a less independent Fed will be less likely to make the unpopular decisions needed to keep inflation under control over the long term. In another signal of increasing worries, the price of gold rose to a new record. Investors go to gold in times of uncertainty. I'm Ed Donahue.
A federal judge ordered a major makeover of Google's search engine, but rebuffed the U.S. government's request to break up the company. The ruling will likely ripple across the technological landscape at a time when the industry is being reshaped by artificial intelligence breakthroughs, including conversational answer engines, as companies like ChatGPT and Perplexity try to upend Google's long-held position as the internet's main gateway. While there are new restraints on some of the tactics the company deployed to drive traffic to its search engine and other services, the judge stopped short of banning the multi-billion dollar deals that Google has been making for years to lock in its search engine as the default on smart devices. Google will also not be forced to sell its popular Chrome browser. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
10 years after Kraft and Heinz got together in a major merger that created one of the biggest food companies on the planet, they're splitting up. Now one of the companies will include shelf-stable meals and brands such as Heinz, Philadelphia cream cheese, and Kraft mac and cheese. The other will include brands such as Oscar Mayer, Kraft singles, and Lunchables. The company in 2015 wanted to capitalize on its massive scale, but shifting tastes complicated those plans. With households seeking to introduce healthier options at the table, I'm Julie Walker.
5 new cast members have been announced for season 51 of Saturday Night Live. Ben Marshall is moving from writer to featured player.
What's up, baby?
Did you eat your phone?
Did I eat my cell phone?
Marshall is the redhead in the digital shorts from Please Don't Destroy.
Hug is like a sad Ron Weasley. He looks like a big bird lost all his feathers.
Also joining the cast are Tommy Brennan, Jeremy Culhane, Cam Patterson, and Veronica Slowakowska. They have experience in stand-up comedy and viral videos. It's all part of an SNL shakeup. Devin Walker, Emil Joachim, and Michael Longfellow will not be back. Executive producer Lorne Michaels told Puck James Austin Johnson will definitely return.
People are saying that what I've done so far has single-handedly helped win people elections, mostly in Canada.
He plays President Trump. The 51st SNL season starts October 4th. I'm Ed Donahue.
The Corporation for Public Broadcasting will be honored with the Television Academy's Governor's Award. President and CEO Patricia DeStacy Harrison will accept the award. It honors those who have, quote, made a profound, transformational, and long-lasting contribution to the arts and or science of television. The recognition comes as the CPB faces funding cuts from the Trump administration. It's also announced most staff positions will end on September 30th. The CPB has helped fund PBS, NPR, 1,500 local radio and TV stations, and programs like Sesame Street. The loss of funding is expected to hit public radio and TV stations in small communities across the U.S. the hardest. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
Anna Wintour ending weeks of Fashion World Speculation Tuesday, naming Chloe Mal her successor as head of editorial content at Vogue. But the most powerful person in the business isn't going anywhere. The 75-year-old Wintour remains chief content officer for Condé Nast and global editorial director of American Vogue and its 28 other editions around the globe. The 39-year-old Mal may be stepping into Wintour's designer shoes, but she'll report to the original wearer while taking over day-to-day operations at the U.S. edition. Mal, who joined Vogue in 2011, is the daughter of the late French director Louis Mal and actor Candice Bergen, who played a Vogue editor on Sex and the City. Julie Walker, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. Venus Williams' run at the U.S. Open is over after the 45-year-old and partner Layla Fernandez were defeated by top-seeded duo Taylor Townsend and Katerina Siniakova 6-1, 6-2 in the women's doubles quarterfinals.
We just ran out of time. I wish I could have played better today for Layla. I blame myself for a lot of it.
Defending U.S. Open women's singles champion Aryna Sabalenka and Jessica Pegula are through to the semifinals. Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic advanced on the men's side. MLB three-time AL MVP Mike Trout of the Angels was scratched from Tuesday's lineup because of a skin infection. Ohio State is back at number one in the Associated Press top 25 college football poll ahead of number two Penn State and number three LSU, which was joined this week by number five Miami in the top five. Florida State is back in the poll for the first time in a year at number 14, and Alabama plummeted to its lowest ranking in 17 seasons at number 21. Preseason number one Texas dropped to seventh. The defending national champion Buckeyes are number one in a regular season poll for the first time since 2015. Hall of Fame basketball coach George Raveling has died at age 88. Raveling's family says he, quote, faced cancer with courage and grace. Raveling was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2015 and had a career record of 335 and 293 at Washington State, Iowa, and Southern California. Raveling was later instrumental in convincing Michael Jordan to sign with Nike. He also owned the original copy of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, which he donated to Villanova in 2021. Vanderbilt linebacker Langston Patterson and former Hawaii quarterback Braden Shager are among 10 plaintiffs suing the NCAA over its redshirt rule that puts restrictions on the 5 years athletes have to practice, play, and graduate. The class action lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Tennessee alleges the NCAA violates U.S. antitrust laws with how its redshirt rule covers playing time for athletes during eligibility. The lawsuit includes seven other named plaintiffs and potentially thousands of current and former NCAA players. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
Russia fired more than 500 drones and two dozen missiles at Ukraine overnight as Ukraine's president and European leaders push ahead with talks aimed at strengthening Ukrainian defenses, adding momentum to what has so far been unsuccessful U.S.-led peace efforts. The main Russian nighttime targets were on civilian infrastructure, particularly energy facilities, as another winter approaches 3 years after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russian aerial assaults hitting civilian areas and the Russian army's drive to crush Ukrainian defenses along the front line have not abated in recent months, despite U.S. President Donald Trump's attempts to stop the fighting. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The UN peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon says Israeli drones dropped four grenades close to UN peacekeepers deployed near the border with Israel as they were working to clear roadblocks. No one was hurt in the attack on Tuesday morning. The peacekeeping force, known as UNIFIL, said in a statement Wednesday that the incident a day earlier was one of the most serious attacks on UNIFIL personnel and assets since the cessation of hostilities in November that ended the 14-month Israel-Hezbollah war. There's been no immediate comment from the Israeli military. Rough terrain is hampering rescue and relief efforts since Sunday's devastating earthquake in eastern Afghanistan, forcing the Taliban authorities to airdrop dozens of commandos to evacuate the injured from places where helicopters cannot land. An aftershock of 5.2 close to the epicenter has rattled the country, according to the US Geological Survey, but there have been no immediate reports of more damage. At a media briefing in Geneva, the UN's resident coordinator of Afghanistan, Indrika Ratwar, warns of a surge in casualty numbers.
Looking at the stats, looking at the remoteness and the topography, which is extremely challenging and remote, we think potentially the impacted individuals could go up to almost into the hundreds of thousands.
While urging the international community to step forward, Ratwar adds, we cannot afford to forget the people of Afghanistan who are facing multiple crises, multiple shocks, and the resilience of the communities has been saturated. I'm Charles de Lezesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.